go. Good morning, friends. My name is Tony from Faith Community Church up in Santa Clarita. My friend Steve from Calvary Bible Church here in Burbank. We hope all of you have a blessed day today. And we are here today to share with you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no better news than salvation by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. We're out here this morning because we care about you as our fellow human beings. We do not bring a message to you of hate this morning, but one of love. There is no greater love than the love of God as He has shown us through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we represent to you the Son of the Living God. There are many different representations of Jesus today. All but one are misrepresentations of who He is. We are here to represent to you the Son of the Living God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We are here to represent to you the One who was with the Father in creation. All things were created by Him and through Him and for Him. Nothing has ever been made that was not made by the hands of Jesus Christ. He, along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, is eternally God, is God the Son, one God in three persons, otherwise known as the Trinity. He is the Son of the Living God. He is the One who will judge both the living and the dead. He is the One who came to save His people from His sins. That's who we're here to represent to you today. He is the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And again, He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah who will judge both the living and the dead. And we're here this morning. We've got a beautiful sunrise here in Southern California. The Lord is blessing us with good weather, better weather than most of the United States. And yet most people will take that for granted this morning. They will see that as just another sunrise instead of seeing it for what it is, a beautiful tapestry from the Creator, the Master Artisan, who has created all of us with the ability to observe, the ability to understand, the ability to see, the ability to discern. He has written the reality of creation in all of our hearts and our minds. We see that creation testifies to the glory of God. He's also written the reality of His existence on our hearts, because He has given us a conscience. And on that conscience, He has written His law. And it is His law by which each and every one of us will stand one day to give an account for our lives. My friends, each and every one of us knows that it's wrong to lie, because we know that God is truth. But we know it's wrong to steal or to harbor bitterness or resentment in our heart. We know it's wrong to hate, because we know that God is love. We know it's wrong to take the name of the Lord our God in vain, to use His name to express disgust or excitement. But we know this is true because we know that God is holy. We know it's wrong to engage in any form of sexual immorality, because we know that God is faithful. That's why each and every one of us is without excuse this morning. Appointed once for a person to die, and after that the judgment. When we stand before Almighty God on that great and terrible day, we will not be able to claim either innocence or ignorance to violating His law. Because God is good, because God is holy and righteous and just, He must punish our sin. The punishment that God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. Now, Steve and I are not here because we want anybody to perish in their sin. Absolutely not. We're here because we care about you, and because we don't want anyone to perish in their sin. But we say that understanding that there's only one lawgiver and judge. There's only one who's able to save and destroy. It's not Allah, not any of the false gods of Eastern religions. It is Jesus Christ the Lord. He is both Savior and King. my friends, that same God who is angry with the wicked every day, that same God who will judge the world in righteousness, that same God whose wrath abides upon the ungodly, is the same God who is loving and merciful and gracious and kind. And he showed that great kindness almost 2,000 years ago when he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to earth, fully God and fully man and without sin. In John's first letter, in the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 20, John writes, the Word of God says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Many people will assert that Jesus never claimed to be God. But yet what many people fail to understand is not only did Jesus on several occasions during His earthly ministry claim to be God, but all of His Word testifies to the reality, to the truth, that Jesus is God. So many people, even those who would call themselves Christians, believe that the only words of Jesus in the Bible are the red letters, the words that are quoted of Him in the four Gospels and in the beginning of the book of Acts. That is a misunderstanding of the Word of God. For Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the Word become flesh who dwelt among us. Every word in the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation 22 are the words of Jesus Christ. And again here in 1 John chapter 5 in verses 20 and 21 it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." One of the reasons why people do not understand this truth is because they worship idols. Now, when you hear the word idol, you might think of someone carving something out of stone or wood or metal and then bowing down to worship it. That, of course, would be the definition of an idol. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Take this palm tree here. What 1 billion people in the world do today is they will cut down a tree like this. They will use a third of it to build their home. They will use a third of it to warm their home and cook their food. And then they will use a third of it to build some kind of idol in the form of man or an animal or some other created thing, and they'll bow down to worship it. They made it with their own hands. It can't see, it can't feel, it can't touch. God bless you, sir. It can't think, it can't save, it can't judge, it can't destroy. It's a tree. But yet many people will worship it as their God. Professing to be wise, they become fools. And instead of worshiping the Creator who is blessed forever, amen, they worship the creature. Now, while many of you, probably most of you, if not even all of you here at the North Hollywood Metro Station, would not do something like that, would not carve an idol out of a tree and worship it, there's actually a more common form of idolatry. And it's prevalent here in this part of the world, and it's idolatry of the mind. It's when we fashion a god in our own imagination to suit ourselves. We create a god who likes our sin. We create a god in our mind that will serve as some kind of genie in a bottle. We just tuck that god up on the shelf, and when we want something from the god, we bring down the bottle, we rub it, we ask for 3 wishes, and if we get what we want, we continue to worship the god we've created in our mind. And if we don't get what we want, well, then we just replace that god with another bottle. That's idolatry of the mind, my friends. If you believe in a god that will not judge sin, if you believe in a god that will not send anybody to hell, I would agree. agree with you. Your God will not send anyone to hell. Because your God's incapable of doing it. Because your God doesn't exist outside of your imagination. But that same God you created in your mind, who will not judge, is also a God who cannot save you. For the exact same reason, he doesn't exist outside of your mind. No, Jesus Christ is the one true God. He alone is able to save. He alone is able to destroy. But yet for so many people, it is the idols they've created in their life that keep them from understanding this truth. And idols come in other forms as well, my friends. It's not only gods that we create in our imagination, but it's also people and things. I mean, I spend quite a bit of time down on Hollywood Boulevard preaching, and I don't know how many times I see people get down on their hands and knees to take a picture of somebody's star. They come from different parts of the world, all to see their favorite stars on the ground, not realizing that the night before that someone might have bled there, or urinated there, or vomited there. Getting on one of the dirtiest streets in the country, on their hands and knees, some of them bowing down and kissing the star. That's idolatry. It's not only in the entertainment industry that we have idols, but in sports as well. People idolize their favorite sports heroes. And the sports industry, which is a business, which is entertainment, and I'm not saying don't watch sports, don't be involved in sports. I love sports. But some people take that love of sports to the point of worshiping an idol. They get their favorite person's jersey, who will probably be on some other team the following year, going to the highest bidder. They'll spend $150 on the jersey just so they can show everybody who it is they worship on their back. Some people idolize money. Some people idolize wealth. Some people believe that if they can amass enough wealth, that'll make them happy. That will give them prominence and influence. My friends, one thing I've never seen, and one thing you will likely never see, is a hearse carrying a dead body to a cemetery pulling a U-Haul trailer. You will never see that. You will never see a U-Haul trailer being pulled by a hearse. You know, it's cliche, but it's true. You can't take it with you. Go to the pyramids of Egypt, my friend, and you'll find the gold, you'll find the jewels, you'll find the sarcophaguses that held their bodies, but all you'll find inside is a dead, wrapped-up mummy. That's it. You can't take it with you. But it is these idols, and we all have them. Everybody does. We all struggle with worshiping the one true God. But these idols are what will keep you from the knowledge of the truth. The truth that God sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin, who lived a perfect sinless life that you and I cannot live. For a mere 30 seconds, He lived that perfect life for some 33 years. And then He voluntarily went to the cross. Yes, it was the Jewish people of that day who demanded His execution. Yes, it was the Roman government that carried out the act, but they were all merely instruments in the hands of another. So the Word of God says in Isaiah 53 that it pleased God the Father to crush God the Son under the full weight and fury of His wrath against sin. Well, why would God do that? Why would God allow His Son, His perfect, precious, and priceless Son, to endure the torture leading up to the cross and then the torturous, brutal death of the cross? Why? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And there is only eternal life in the Son. There is not eternal life in any other God created in the imaginations of men. There is not eternal life in any of the created things of this world. There is not eternal life in going to church on Sunday and living like hell Monday through Saturday. There is only eternal life in the Son. Jesus Christ the Lord. And what God commands of you and me and all people everywhere is that we repent, that we turn from our sin, that we turn from our idols, and by faith and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. God is so gracious and merciful and loving and kind that if He causes you to be born again, that if He literally causes you to be born from above, He will take your heart of stone and He will give you a heart of flesh. You'll begin to love the things that God loves. You'll begin to hate the things that God hates. And when you sin against God, you will no longer presume upon His forgiveness as if it is something you have earned or deserved. But you will run to God with the confident assurance that you will receive that forgiveness, not because you're good, not because you're religious, but because of the goodness of God that has drawn you to repentance. Because of the goodness of God that allowed His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for sinners like you and me. This is good news. This is the ultimate message of love. But so many people, they hear this gospel message today, and they recoil and they get angry and they call it hate speech. The reason they do that is because they love their sin more than they love God. It is because they love their greatest idol of all more than they love God, and that idol being themselves. And the love of God is not in them. Sadly, my friends, many churches will tell you today that we're all children of God. That's not true. It is true that each and every one of us are image bearers of God. We have all been created in the image of God. The Word of God says that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you are not a child of God, but you are a child of wrath, that the wrath of God abides upon you. But my friends, you can be adopted into God's family. You can be an adopted son or daughter of God. I mean, think about that, my friends. Adoption is one of the most beautiful illustrations of the love of God. I have two adopted nieces from Liberia and an adopted nephew from Uganda. I love them very much. They're not considered adopted children. They are considered part of the family. They have all the rights and privileges of their natural-born brother and sister. It doesn't matter that the color of their skin is different. It doesn't matter that they came from another part of the world. It doesn't matter. But my nephew, who just turned 10 not long ago, who was adopted out of an orphanage in Uganda, he did not search the internet to find my brother-in-law and my sister and choose them as his parents. He did not force my sister and my brother-in-law to travel some 10,000 miles from Southern California to Uganda to choose him to be their son.
I don't.
My nephew was entirely at the mercy and grace and love of his adopted parents. And when they adopted him, they gave him a new name, they gave him new clothes, and they gave him a new home. And such is the case when a sinner like you and me is adopted by Almighty God. He gives us a new name, He gives us new clothes, and He gives us a new home. When God adopts us through faith in Jesus Christ, we are no longer called wretched sinner. We are no longer called condemned. We are no longer called a child of wrath. We are now sons and daughters of the Most High. And we are now co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We are now called redeemed. We are now called forgiven. We are now called most beloved. When we are adopted by God through faith in Jesus Christ, He gives us new clothes. We are no longer clothed in the filthy garments of our sin. We are no longer clothed in the filthy garments of what we believe are good deeds that will somehow earn our way into heaven. No, we are now clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it is because We are clothed with that imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That righteousness that cannot be earned or deserved, but is given as a free gift. It is because we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ that when we stand before God, He will not judge us according to His law. He will allow us into heaven because of the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. He gives us new clothes. And He gives us a new home. We are no longer children of wrath, destined for hell. But we are no longer merely citizens of this world. But we are now citizens of heaven. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for His people, for those who have turned from their sin and by faith, and by faith alone, have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And this is the message of love that we offer you today. And we plead with you, we implore you, we will go as far as to beg you to turn from your sin. And by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And your sins will be forgiven. All of God's promises are yes and amen. The same God who promises to judge sinners is the same God who promises to save those same sinners. And He did that at the cross of Jesus Christ. It is where justice and mercy kiss. For God cannot simply turn a blind eye to sin. Because God is good, He must punish sin. But at the same time, He extends mercy and grace to those who turn from their sin and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. How can God do that? How can God judge sinners while at the same time forgiving sinners? It happened at the cross. It is where justice and mercy kiss. For only God can appease the wrath of Almighty God. And only a perfect man, a sinless man, can take upon himself the punishment sinners like you and me deserve. And that happened at the cross. Through the sacrifice of the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Again, the Word of God says in 1 John 5, verses 20 and 21, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Has God given you this understanding today? Are you in Him who is true? Do you understand that Jesus Christ is God and who alone can give you eternal life? Oh, I pray that God would bring you to that understanding today. That you would not turn a blind eye, that you would not turn a deaf ear to what you have heard this morning. But that you would come to the senses that God has given you. That you would turn from your sin and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Steve and I have brought free Bibles, free Gospels of John, in both English and in Spanish. If you would like a copy, please just help yourself. We'd love to give you a copy of the Word of God as our gift to you. We would ask you to read it. Because in the Word of God are the words of eternal life. In the Word of God are the words of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. So please, humble yourself before Almighty God. Turn from your sin. And by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior while God has given you time. If you have any questions at all about what you've heard, Steve and I would love to talk to you about that. Thank you for listening.